A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes.
Welcome to the Universal Podcast Network. One voice, everywhere.
Welcome to Abstract Essay, where the stick shape, but find depth, and every conversation explores the art of thinking beyond the obvious. And today, our special guest to this episode, she's a creative empowerment coach, an author, music educator, vocalist, pianist, composer, and a poet as well. And other than Miss Jenny Lee Hodgins.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for having me today. I'm really happy to be with you again.
Again, yes. Welcome back, Miss Jenny. Welcome back, welcome back. And as usual, can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm Jenny Lee Hodgins. I'm a creative empowerment coach. I help overwhelmed creatives, caregivers, and really busy adults restore energy, rebuild self-trust, and cultivate sustainable creative flow through an asynchronous coaching approach designed to fit real life. I help people who are burned out, overwhelmed, or creatively blocked reconnect with their energy, build self-trust, and create more aligned, sustainable ways of living and working so they can access their natural creative capacity and move through life with more clarity, more ease, and inspiration. And I do it through an asynchronous online coaching practice and a library of digital courses and free tools so clients can engage with the work in a flexible, self-paced way that really fits real life rather than rigid schedules. That's what I do.
Interesting. What an amazing introduction, Ms. Jenny. Here on Abstract Essay, we salute you. We celebrate you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to us, as well as to the world.
I love it.
Thank you. So, Ms. Jenny, let's talk about reset, sustainable creative flow, and energy. People, our guest today is Ms. Jenny Lee Hodgins. She's a creative empowerment coach, as we well mentioned a while ago. So, Ms. Jenny, let's talk about the breaking point first. You've spoken openly about navigating burnout as a solo caregiver. Can you walk us through the moment you realized your old way of pushing through was no longer sustainable, and how that led you reset philosophy?
Yes. Okay, so my backstory is that I really hit that wall in 2024 at age 60, but it was after years of carrying an extraordinary amount of responsibility, change, and emotional weight. And this was just the story that led me here is that I had packed up and sold my Florida home and moved back to my hometown in Kentucky in 2017 to be in place for my aging mom. And I was navigating the challenges of caregiving during a very, very divisive pandemic period. And I was also supporting a loved one through a serious 18-month family intervention, crisis intervention. And I also experienced during that whole period significant losses, including unexpected deaths of two of my very longtime friends, my mom's only sister, and my beloved 25-year-old cat. And at the same time, I was in a very demanding and I would say extreme 3.5-year community HOA board of directors leadership role. I initially became involved just to help protect my mother and ended up becoming the condo owner and taking a much larger leadership role. And just to explain how this, I'm sure many people can relate to the onslaught of things piling up. So we inherited a very neglected property And as president, I helped lead that transition away from an uncooperative management property. We worked through significant financial challenges, addressed years of unpaid fees, did it without property management for a year, and helped rebuild our reserves from 9 cents to over 200K in that first year under my, you know, leadership. So it was a really intense, extreme leadership experience that required persistence, collaboration, and resilience. And in that same season, I was coming out of that, and I published not one, but two books, and I rebooted my podcast, Your Creative Cord, and I shifted my entire online presence from one place in a blog to where I am now in a my current ecosystem with my website, my podcast, my digital products, and all the way to my creative empowerment coaching, you know, signature program. So by 2020,
a beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Before all of that period between 2017 and 2024, I was just completely exhausted in every way. And I was physically depleted. I had a lot of negative emotions. I resigned at that point from the board of director position, but through awakening to my own burnout and beginning my recovery journey, that's when I realized my burnout didn't happen just in that period. It actually started with my response to, you know, in my youth, complex family dynamics, and that bled over and continued through years of teaching, performing, and arts community leadership. Just the same habits had bled through where I developed a pattern of overextending myself at my own expense. So what I learned from all of that is that burnout definitely builds slowly through repeated, often very misaligned patterns, which means what I've discovered through my own experience is that recovery first requires awareness and then a lot of patience. And it involves creating new, gentle, very simple, consistent practices that are woven into daily life, not intensity, not pressure, just very gentle practices to rebuild self-care, self-trust, and really a more holistic, aligned way of living and working and creating. That's what I'm living, and I practice it every single day.
Wow, that's interesting, interesting indeed, Ms. Jane. And, well, for someone who is completely exhausted and feels they have zero time for themselves, what does reset actually look like on a practical Monday morning level?
Well, of course, it differs per person because we're so unique as individuals. But basically, it starts with, you know, awareness and resetting your energy in a very gentle way. That might look like, you know, for one thing, really protecting your sleep, your night routine, your morning routine, getting yourself very small pockets of autonomy, whether that's a quiet breakfast or, you know, going to get your coffee at a coffee shop, you know, allowing, I'm laughing because my cat is meowing incessantly and wants to be He's out there. Anyway, just really focusing on pacing yourself, fitting in small micro breaks and of stillness and autonomy so you can start being more aware of and hearing and listening to your own voice. I hope, you know, we can go in more depth about that in my frameworks and the things that I do and what I help people do. But in a nutshell, it's just really common sense, basic, simple, gentle practices of giving yourself pauses, giving yourself time to breathe, to stretch, to have little breaks throughout the day, to embrace, you know, the moment, to be present, you know, more often, you know.
Well said, well said, Miss Jenny. Many creatives complain they don't have enough time. but you often pivot the conversation to energy. What is the difference between managing time and managing energy, and why is the latter more crucial for creative flow? I love cats, huh, Mrs. Jenny.
So I wonder if you can hear him back there. He wants attention.
No worries. No worries.
That's another good thing. If you've got a pet, you know, I happen to have a 12-year-old Russian blue cat on the other side of that door, and he'll be right in the camera if I don't keep him out of there. But that's another great way to reset your energy, is just making a moment happen to sit and pet your or play with your pet. That yes. that helps calm your nervous system, and it brings you those wonderful, you know, good chemicals in our bodies, that you know, the dopamine and the good feeling, you know, chemicals in our bodies. Just embracing people that are around you and really paying attention to them. But to your point, when people feel like they don't have enough time, I would take them through, you know, again, energy reset. In my reset framework, I would seriously, I'm just laughing because he's just not going to stop meowing at me. you know, just really thinking about, is it really that you don't have enough time, or are you being busy and productive for the sake of being busy and productive? What I like to drill down on in my reset framework, one of the things that we really focus on is, are you, you know, really learning how to prioritize the most essential things? So I've really had to practice that myself, letting go of perfectionism, letting go of doing more, and starting to embrace enough. Not doing more, not making it perfect, but doing enough, and really focusing on, you know, what is the thing that I need to do that's going to bring me the highest ROI, you know, return of investment, and what is really aligned with my, what are my values? And if this task and this schedule is not aligned with, you know, my priorities and my values, and is not going to bring me, you know, the bang for the buck, or the, you know, the return of investment for my effort, then it's really just busy work. And so I really encourage people to really take a look at their schedule and highlight, you know, what really are the essentials only. And when you start focusing primarily on that and learning how to let go of those other, you know, perfectionism, overdoing it, you know, focus on all, I'm practicing it myself. Enough is better than perfection, and done is better than perfect. I think a lot of that is the mindset that would help that, you know, that attitude that people feel they don't have enough time. Often when we think we don't have enough time is that we're not really listening to our own voice, to our own values. And so I think it's critical that, you know, the R of reset is regular rest. It's also, and the E is embracing what nurtures you. So finding more moments of things that nurture you, and finding more moments of stillness, even if it's small pockets, like I talked about at the beginning, you know, taking breaths, taking stretches, looking out the window, being with your pet, being with a loved one, you know, incorporating more of that into your life and starting to recognize what's really important to me, and letting go of the other stuff. I think we'll find that there's a lot more time in our day when we're focused on the essentials and our values. That was a long answer.
Well said, well said.
I was trying to talk over my cat.
So let's talk about it.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Energy versus time. Many creatives complain they don't have enough time, but often pivot to, well, a conversation to energy. What's the difference between managing time and managing energy, and why is the latter more crucial for creative flow?
Such a deep question. Well, you know, for myself personally, as a female, I've tried to follow a lot of the time management you know, advice out there in the business and productivity world, but most of that is geared towards masculine energy. Not that I don't have masculine energy, but being a female, I've learned when I look at my energy, you know, when I really pay attention to when my best creative energy is there, or when my energy is best for connecting one-on-one, or doing batch work or whatever, I kind of see, you know, throughout my day when I'm at my best and when I'm drooping. So what I've learned is, you know, when I prioritize my the things that are most important to me at the times of the day where I feel my best energy, it seems to work better for me. And people, some people find that at nighttime, I'm more of an early morning, you know, best energy person. And I think for me, the difference, you know, in using my, making my schedule around my energy, my best energy, the difference between that and just trying to schedule things according to a time frame, it just leaves me less depleted. It leaves me with more energy to do my best. And it just makes a big difference when you're focused on what aligns with you personally versus the time clock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting, Ms. Janay. And let's talk about the caregiver's dilemma. Guilt is a massive barrier for caregivers and busy parents who want to create. How do you coach someone to take time for their creative practice when they feel selfish doing so?
Well, first of all, that's also part of the process of building self-trust. And I would, you know, through all of my products and my coaching program and my content as a podcaster myself, I really help people understand the value of being creative and the fact that it's inherent in all of us. And it is a healing tool. And so, you know, this taking time for oneself, you know, is just a guilt kind of thing that I don't, as a practicing Buddhist for 40 years, I don't have the word guilt in my vocabulary, because to me, it creates zero value. You know, it just creates a burden in your heart. So I would encourage people, you know, to that same thing that we've heard many times. If we don't take care of ourselves first, we're bringing the lesser of ourselves to help the persons that we love. So if you really want to, and I say it to myself because I'm a caregiver, if you really want to, you know, take the best care of your loved one, you have to make time for yourself. So you're bringing your best to that. And creativity is a, among many other things, practical things and spiritual practices and movement, nature, all these things. But creativity itself is an amazing tool to help you, it gives you a little bit of space. It gives you a little bit of autonomy, and it's a, it provides a kind of safe place where you can really express all that you're feeling. And through my own experience, you know, and through books that I've, you know, published based on these experiences, you know, I know firsthand, and through the people that I've worked with, they know firsthand that when you express yourself, whether it's through movement or music or poetry or some kind of art modality, whatever it is, journaling, anything like that, when you do that, it releases a lot of tension, and it helps you when you start allowing yourself creative engagement. It doesn't take much, no, 5 to 10 minutes a day, you know, to do something. It helps you metabolize your stress. It helps you transform whatever that challenging experience is into more meaning for yourself. So you feel a purpose and an alignment with fulfilling something useful. And it also helps really strengthen your own ability to emotionally regulate and to build towards recovery. And that will take care of that guilt feeling, because when you're taking care of yourself, you're not going to feel that. You're going to, you know, all of these emotions will come out through your creativity, and it helps strengthen that. And it pulls out the positive, you know, I want to try to say positive emotions, and the negative ones become a little bit more dormant. So I really, you know, strongly encourage people, not just caregivers, but anybody, you know, exploring with some little bit of creative practice. It helps deepen your own self-trust. It helps you align and listen to who you are honestly, what your values are honestly, and it helps you connect to the greater humanity and to the amazing, you know, universal unlimited power in the world. So I would leave people with, you know, reflect on what changes when you stop trying to force an idea and instead just allow yourself to fully meet your creative, authentic voice where and as you.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
You are, including guilt. Instead of forcing that idea, let go. And what happens when you just fully allow your own creative, authentic voice as you are right now? I find that when you dig deep right under your feet where you are and use what's already in your life, that's where the most powerful creative healing comes from, in my experience anyway, the people I've worked with.
Well said, well said, Miss Jenny.
Thank you, thank you.
Protecting the vessel. You emphasize setting healthy boundaries to protect energy. For someone who is a chronic people pleaser, what is the first boundary that should set to reclaim the creative headspace?
Can you repeat that question? Sorry.
No worries at all. So let's talk about protecting the vessel itself. You emphasize setting healthy boundaries to protect energy. For someone who is a chronic people pleaser, what is the first boundary they should set to reclaim their creative headspace?
Yes, thank you for repeating that. And that is exactly what I practice proactively personally, because I have been a lifelong enabler people pleaser until now. I'm a recovering people pleaser. I think one of the biggest things that I would recommend, the things beyond the things we already talked about, rest, take care of yourself first, choose essentials only, proactively stay in your lane is about boundaries. And I go into that in a lot more depth in that section of my reset format. But when, especially when you feel tired emotionally or physically or mentally, or you're pulled to overextend as an automatic response, that's when, you know, I highly recommend and practice, start with a pause. Practice the pause. And that can be literally just taking a moment, taking a beat before you respond to someone. It could be taking a walk. It could be simply taking a few breaths. I find sometimes if someone's asking me something and I just take a beat and a moment and take a few breaths, often that little space is enough to give them, you know, the opportunity to kind of take a little more ownership themselves, because it gives, you know, you're not immediately jumping in to rescue kind of thing. But other things you can do by, you know, besides taking a breath or pause or sleeping on it, you can say things like, before you automatically respond, you take the pause and you say, let me get back to you on that. Let me look at my schedule and get back to you. Or you ask them things like, that sounds like you've got quite a challenge on your hands. Have you, what options have you considered? Or who else have you asked to help out with that? And get them to talk a little bit. That also gives you a little space, you know, for them to kind of take a little more ownership. And then also you could say things like, if I'm unable to do this whole full, you know, thing that you're asking me to, what part of that would you like from me? If I can only do a part of it, what's the most important part of that you'd like me to do? Ask them things like, when is this needed? The more questions you're asking, and you're basically putting it back in their lane, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me also, you know, as I'm practicing, you know, boundary navigation myself, I think the most important thing is the practices we've already discussed. The more you start weaving in gentle practices of taking care of your own rhythm, finding and embracing more moments of stillness, whether that's a spiritual practice, journaling, creativity, nature, some way to experience awe, doing something that nourishes you, go into a bookstore or a coffee shop just to get a little space from things, doing whatever nurtures you specifically, going to an art gallery or a concert or, you know, going for a hike or a bike ride, whatever really lights you up, the more you incorporate those things little by little and more regularly into your life, the more easy it is for you to hear, you know, where your lane is and what's best for your lane. I'm literally living and breathing that practice. So for people that are struggling with, you know, boundaries, for example, someone came up to me just the other day and tried to insist very adamantly that I should force another person to do something. And then I held my ground. It's no, that's that person's choice. I can certainly ask if they want to do that. I can support that, but I'm not going to force another person. That's their decision. That was me verbalizing a clear boundary. And then that person followed up with me and tried to tell me what my inner emotional state was and that I needed to change that. And I didn't, you know, argue with the person. I just realized, you know, I have an image of in my framework, I talk about staying in your lane. For me, that means I'm only responsible for how I can respond. That person, whatever's in their yard or their lane, that might be where they're coming from, but they have no inkling. No one has an inkling of how you feel internally. They can't tell you, you know, how you feel or what you should do. So recognizing that and staying in your lane means kind of giving myself a little space between me and that person trying to force something on me. Those are simple, you know, examples of all I did was say, thank you so much for your concern. I really appreciate your, you know, passion for me in this situation. And I will continue to, you know, do my spiritual practice to make a wise and compassionate choice, you know, for the happiness of everyone involved. I didn't defend myself. I just, you know, created a little bit of a buffer. So these are just simple examples of how boundaries can work, if that helps answer that question.
Certainly, boundaries, definitely. And Ms. Jenny, to wrap up our discussion for today, you speak of inspired living. If you were to paint a picture of fully reset life for your clients, what does it look like? Is it calm or is it a productive chaotic?
If I'm understanding the question, you're asking, what does a creatively aligned, inspired life look like for my clients?
Yes, if you want to reset the life of your clients.
Right. Well, I think it is, you know, encompassed by everything we talked about today, just really practicing gentle, small shifts of self-compassionate self-care that are aligned with your values authentically and honestly, so that when you're doing something, you are wholeheartedly there and doing it from your best self and enjoying that. And, you know, balancing the care of yourself with the things that you want to contribute to others. And then being able to authentically express yourself in a way that's true to yourself and energetically full. You know, meaning not depleted.
Not depleted, definitely.
Please not depleted.
Please do so. So, Ms. Jenny, can you please invite our listeners to support your podcast, your projects, or anything you want to promote on Abstract Essay?
Thank you so much, Daniel, for asking me that. I actually have, as I expressed, a coaching ecosystem built around a three-pillar creative empowerment framework, the RESET, the keys to nurture creativity. These are experiential and research-backed ways of boosting creativity, and my own creative exploration formula, which helps people navigate that inner critic and really tap into their authentic creative expression. And I do all of this through my books, through my podcast, through my digital products, and my signature asynchronous coaching program. And the heart of it is really helping overwhelmed creatives or caregivers or creatively curious people who want to get creative and don't know how to dip their toe into it, or busy adults. It helps everyone rebuild our energy, overcome blocks, and empower sustainable creative flow and inspired living. And you can find all of that at yourcreativecore.com. If you're feeling overwhelmed or in burnout recovery and feel the need to practice some of these things we talked about, I have a free burnout reset guide. It offers immediate support and simple tools to help stabilize your energy. And you can get that at yourcreativecore.com/burnout guide. I also have a simple, practical way to empower your creative flow and inspired living with my creative empowerment sampler, also at yourcreativecore.com/get inspired here. And all of those are free, and you can grab and take a look around and see my podcast as well at yourcreativecord.com.
Yes, people, let's support Ms. Jenny. If you're interested, please connect. And I have one more question before I will let you go. Okay. Your website is your creative cord. If every person has a unique creative cord, how do you help people find specific notes they are meant to play in this world?
How do I help them find the specific notes they're able to play in this world? Is that how you said that?
Yes, please.
That was so creatively stated. That was like a musical phrase in itself. Well done, Daniel. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I think it really boils down to, I'm here to empower your creative flow and inspired living, which I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I'm here to help you tune into yourself. Take care of yourself, because by learning to do these things, and I have some tips and, you know, strategies for helping you navigate creativity and boundaries and things like that. But really, it's all inside of you. And I just help you get attuned to that and help you tap into your own wisdom and creativity and compassion and find those musical notes in your own life to play. It has to come from you, you know, naturally, but I'm here to assist and support that through my, you know, coaching framework.
Well said, Miss Jenny. I will invite you again and again to all the podcasts that I'm creating. And let's talk about your expertise, okay?
Thank you so much, Daniel. I appreciate it.
No worries at all. Let's empower fellow podcaster.
Yes.
So, Miss Jenny, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you so much.
Likewise. So, Morticon people, see you soon. Bye, Miss Jenny.
Thank you for joining us on the Universal Podcast Network. One voice, everywhere.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.